No, you come on up here too.
I don't think you're gonna be able to find you. Well, at this time I can't.
Oh, me. Well, praise the Lord, we made it again another night without the rain. I know we said we're like a little dry spell, but I don't know if we have a little dry spell or a wet spell or whatever. But it don't make no difference, because the Lord's going to send us what we need anyhow. Oh, me. All righty. If you will, tonight, turn in the book of St. John, chapter 6. St. John, chapter 6. We're going to start reading with verse 1. And it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, were nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? This right here was when people was just, they heard about Jesus. If they heard about Jesus coming in their area, they would always try to find out what day or whatever. And they would want to always be there because they know that they could hear something from him. And, but it said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. There was a great company of men, women, and children that come at day. And they wanted to hear from the master, because they've heard it, all the other things that what the master had done and what he's been doing. He'd been raising the dead and opening blinded eye and touching the individual, and where they would they wouldn't be lame no more. They could be able to just stand up and walk, run, do whatever. And then we hear a story about the young girl, the lady, here in the Bible, where 12 years that she went with this issue of blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ come by and he told her, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And you know, if we really come to it and think about it, that's what really salvation is really all about. Because he asked us, I mean, we can ask him, You know, now what are you going to do with us now? And he said, I forgot, is that in the Old Testament or the New? I think it's in the New, and I think it's in the second book of Corinthians, to where Paul was telling the people there that when an individual gets saved, and I run across that about 6 months ago, I just read that, and you know, something just popped out to me that I never thought about before. And that's the reason we call this word right here the living word of God. And we call it not just a book, but we call it God's living word, because it lives. It lives within me, it lives within you, and it lives for eternity. But talking about all of that, salvation is a gift from the Lord. We know that. Not only that, it's also something that we don't expect. And we don't expect the Lord to bless us. That's not the reason that I came and I surrendered to Him. That's not the reason that I said yes to the Savior that night. I said yes to my Savior because they told me hit the story. And it wasn't just a story, it was realistic. It had come to pass that He would go and He would die on an old rugged cross, where He had a part in allowing that tree to grow, to where they could be able to cut that tree down and they could take your bark off and everything, and they could make a cross out of it. I mean, He made that because He was a carpenter. And even to this day, I still don't understand all I need to know about that word salvation. But I do know it's a free gift. I didn't have to pay for it. I didn't have to beg Him for it. And I did not ask the Lord that night, that I got saved, when I was just talking to Him and asking Him, and the Holy Spirit was leading me. But you know, I never did ask Him that night. Yes, the Holy Spirit just says He loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His life for you. Do you know anybody else that would give their life for you? And I honestly could say, I said, I don't know. I don't think anybody would. He said, but He did. And I'm so thankful for that. But you know something? I never did ask the Lord Jesus, when I was confessing my sin, confessing unto Him that I was a sinner, that I needed to be saved. I never did ask the Lord. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody else ever ask the Lord too, when they was in that moment, when they was talking to the Lord, and when the Lord was speaking to them, and the Holy Spirit speaking to them and everything, and then when they would come to the Lord, and they would, you know, just tell the Lord all about it. All about themselves. How much that they done against the Lord and everything. And they said, you know, I'm in a place right now, I don't know which way to go. You know, we have to get so low. And we have to get so low down that the only way we can look up is look straight up.
Because we cannot turn over to the fact that, well, we can look down. Because that's how low we would be. I've always said that me, myself, and I think everybody else too, because, you know, the serpent that was in the Garden of Eden, I believe that we have to get so low that when that serpent, that's when that snake comes through that door and goes right through here and just crawl and run. I have to get so low. You have to get so low. The individual that's lost, they have to get so low in their life that they can just walk under the bed of the serpent. That you cannot look down because it says they're so close. They're so close to hell. And people are. I mean, people is knocking. I mean, they're knocking on the door right at hell's door. But, and it says in verse 6, it says, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not significant for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in this place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. It could have been 490-some. It could have been 5,200. It don't give the exact number. It says about 5,000. That can be right before the 5,000, or it could be right after the 5,000. But since about 5,000, well, you know, we can look at it one way and say, "Well, Lord, I believe we counted when we was passing out the bread and fish. And we was counting. And you know, I counted 4,836. I don't think I missed any." And the Lord says, "You're right." Then another one come up, then his brother would come up, Simon Peter would come up, and Andrew and all the others, they would come up and they say, "Well, you know, I'm not disputing what Andrew said. I'm not disputing what he said. I'm not saying it won't that. But I am saying this, that I counted 5,159. That's just about 5,000. And I know that sometimes we can look at the word "about," and we can look at it in a way that where it tells us that it has to be under the number that we're reading and that we're seeing. But with the Lord, it was always about. It was always about this number and that number.
For thou was a lad here, which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, his disciples to them that were set up, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, his disciples to them that were set down, and likewise other fishes, and of much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophets they should come into the world. We know that we don't have what you say prophets today, but we have some. Where they can explain verses and where they can explain a chapter or a book in the Bible, then it's almost like they don't all put us all there in the place that they're speaking about. Like somebody else could be able to read this whole chapter here, and they could read it and they could say, well, we can go back to that mountain. We can go back to that hillside where it's pretty green grass. A clover field of nothing but clover and green. And it had no rocks there. It had nothing there where if the people sat down in the grass that they would have to worry about sitting on a pebble or a rock or something like that. Why? Because see, they was going to eat. They knew that they was going to eat. I don't think they even second-guessed it at all. But the disciples second-guessed themselves. They was wondering, where was they going to get the money from? We do it in God's name. If we allow God to be blessed, then what will happen is He will send somebody to us here to church. He will send somebody to us, and they could speak to us and they could explain things to us, just like sickness. You know, I know too what I've been through, and I haven't gone all the way through it yet. I'm still having to go back to the doctors and everything. But my legs are weak. They're so weak that sometimes the calf of my leg will start hurting. And then I get so limber. But you know, there is other people out here, other Christians out here, and somebody else that's lost out here is in worse shape than I'm in. Brother Bill said this week to me, he says, you know, he says, I know I do a whole lot of complaining. And he says, you know, and I know I should have done some things last year when my wife was telling me and the doctor was telling me and then the church was telling me, but I just didn't do it. He says, you know, I stubbed. I just didn't want to have surgery. And I said, but he said, now, right now, if they come up and suggest doing surgery, then it's the only way that I'm going to feel anybody at all. He said, I'm going to have surgery. I'm going to ask them, I said, well, can you do it this afternoon? That's what he told me. But, you know, and Brother Bill told me, he said, you know, as much pain in my back, my hip, then going down in my legs and both feet are so numb that I can't feel them. And he says, it's hard. When you can't feel the bottom of your feet, he says, you don't know what you're stepping on. You don't even know when going down a step or something like that. He says, when you lift that foot up, you go down to the next step. And you got it always in the back of your mind that that foot is numb. It's numb. You know the foot is not going to feel the step that they're going to step on. And he said, you know, that's basically what he said. He said, it is scary. I said, well, like I said, I can remember when I had started wearing glasses. Then some years later, he says, you need bifocals. I said, well, I said, that's all right. Come on, don't to me. I said, well, I ain't going to have them all the time. I said, I'll just have them for a little while. He said, what are you talking about? I said, now, wait a minute now. You don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, me. And he said, oh, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. He says, I know. And he said, one of these days you ain't wearing no glasses, are you? I said, no. I said, I'm going to have perfect eyesight. I said, I'm going to be able to see that net that's on that bond down at damn 58. And it's going to be that far away, but I'm going to see him. I'm going to be able to see that gnat. But, you know, have you ever thought about this? When you was thinking about different things in your life or things that come up around you and everything, when something doesn't seem to make sense, we might respond by saying that something is fishy. It sounds fishy. Because we, you know, it sounds so far out of the norm and everything that we can't believe that happens. Do we say, oh, that sounds too fishy? It's just like that we don't believe them. We don't believe that that really happened. But you know, it does happen. And we may wonder what is going on. It may not seem to make much sense to us at first. We need not to forget God and His promises. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They started with so little. I was still living at the same place. I was living at, which then was back in, it was, I think it was Route 4.
736, I believe it was, until he changed, until he annexed us and changed the address and everything. But when he changed the address, my house didn't change. When I went home in the afternoon, when that went into effect, I went home that afternoon, pulled up, I parked the truck, got out, went inside the house, had nothing changed. Everything looked like it was the same. But you know something? But the day that I got saved, I knew that somebody else had been there. I knew that something else had taken place there that I couldn't explain at that time. And it was the Lord. Because see, we have to allow the Lord to be our all. That we must allow Him to be the main one that we're serving. And we know what God's word says over there in Genesis, and then in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. We know where it all come from. We know what went in the book of Genesis, the first marriage that took place was there between Adam and Eve. The first marriage. But even before that, God said, I am God. I am God and no one else can do what I do. And how true that is. But see, he has three institutions. He has three ordinances that he wants the church to abide by. He wants the Christian to abide by. The first is that he has to be number one in our life. We have to love him to the point that we forget all the surroundings around us. And we just talk to him and speak to him day by day, moment by moment. And then we know the second thing that took place was the institution of the family. The family. Well, see, Adam and Eve, you know, I know I've never heard it this way before, but I heard one preacher say, well, you know, who's your mom and daddy? What's your mama's name? What's your daddy's name? And I heard this preacher say this. He said, well, in the human realm, my human father's name is Adam. And my mother's name is Eve. I thought so-and-so was your mother. So-and-so was your father. They are. But they was first my mother. And first my father. And, you know, it took all of that. Then it took the third thing. The third institution that God provided. And God said that's the way he wants it. And he don't want them to mix them up and put them in different places. The church. The church. The church where the people gather together. Family members gather together around some type of building or around somebody. Where they can have fellowship.
That's what church is all about, is having fellowship with one another. And then we have fellowship, we can have fellowship one with another. Then we can get to the point to where we'll start praying and we'll start having fellowship with the Lord. And we'll start praying, and we may think that we're going to go and, well, I don't know, I'll leave my wife. Well, I got 10 more minutes before I got to leave and everything. I can pray for 10 minutes. But when we pray for just 10 minutes, it's lucky that we've even acknowledged God at all. But you know, that's one thing I love about that verse. Oh, when I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 13, where he's speaking about his precious, precious Son, Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can find it, because I know that if I go on and say it right now, I'm going to mess it all up, and he's going to say, what did y'all read? What do you mean by that? I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Alright. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar and partakers with the altars. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for for necessities it is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward? Then verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. And that was Paul. What Paul was saying is, the first off, what the main emphasis is right there in what I just read, is that Paul was speaking about prayer. Because of where he said up in verse 13, it says, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. Why would you come up here and just stand here right in the front right here
stand there and you never bow your head. You never close your eyes and you're not speaking a word. You're not talking to God. We have to talk to God like we talk one-on-one to each other. That's the way God wants us to approach Him. Because He's a God of truth. He's God of spirit. And we must do it His way. And He says if we go, if we wait at that altar, if we get down there, we bow our knees and we wait patiently here at the altar and we're talking to God. We continue talking to God and we continue to wait. We continue to wait. You know what the waiting for? To see how faithful you can be. How faithful you can be in your duties and what you want to do and what you need to do for the Lord. Because when you're waiting there at the altar and when you're praying and you're talking to God and everything, then the first 5 or 10 minutes of it is when you're just taking, you forget about yourself, old me and old mine and everything. Oh, I don't understand why they do this or why they do that. No, we'll get away from all of that. Then we'll start praising the Lord. And we'll start thanking Him about this and that. And we'll start really thanking Him for salvation. And we'll thank Him for just being now. Just being God. All God wants us to do, and He looks for it every day. Every second of every day. He wants somebody to be speaking to Him, talking to Him. I mean, and I'll use what Brother Bill said to me one day. He said, you know, I'll be so glad when that I can get out sometime. I'll be so glad that when my wife sees that I'm doing better. And when my wife sees it, I'm going to let him drive. But he can drive to church right now. I'm going to be with him. He said, because I tell you, he says, you really, nobody knows what you go through at a home when there's nothing there but you. When there's no other individual there. And he says, you just want to. He says, some weird things will come across your mind. And he says, that's when I says, yeah. And I says, nah, you ain't the only one. I said, I thought of it too. And I said, you know, when I think about them things, I always thank God for His blessings. The Bill says, he said, he would not want anybody have to go through what he's been through. To be able to have to stay at home as much as he has to. And he told me that, I think it was this past week, he was telling me, he said, you know, I don't know. He said, my wife, Pam, and the kid, and CJ, they said, Papa, we want you to come over here tonight. We want you to go in and eat with us tonight. And he'll go. And he said, you know, he said, when you got your grandchild asks you to do something, he says, you may still be hurting, he said, but you know, there's a piece of your heart right here that's kind of chipped away a little bit. And so he goes, but he said, you know, he said, he thanks the Lord for salvation. And I said, yeah, I do too. I said, Brother Bill, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm gonna say this by experience. You may not know it,
But I'll tell you one thing.
You're standing up for God. You will never let God see where you're so down that you can't praise Him and thank Him. And I says, the reason for that is because of the sickness that has come. I'm not going to say that God put the sickness on you, but God allowed Satan to do some things to us. We don't understand. We say, well, why would a God allow Satan to come and attack me that way, the way I can't walk no more? I have to get in a wheelchair, and I ain't going to be able to go to the church no more. Why? Why is God allowing that to happen? Well, maybe because, hey, I just done got a little cold. A little cold in Him.
He wants our attention. And one thing about it, when He gets our attention, He is just and faithful to give us exactly what we need for that hour, for that day, for that year. But He will give it to us. Uh,